Do you know who you are? Do you know who you're not? Well, maybe you know what others say that you are, but yet you're still having a problem of connecting to it. Maybe you see your strengths, but yet you nitpick it and you tear it apart and you don't see the beauty in how God created you. And so we're living in a society where everyone's saying, okay, know this, know that. Like, it's just so easy, but it's not. It's a process. And there's nothing wrong with the process. And it's constantly changing. Psalms 139:13-14 says this, "For you created my inmost being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well." David is saying, I praise you, Lord, because you made me. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Even in the process of self-discovery, I have to put God in the center of it to make sure it is God-centered. It is make sure that it is still funneled through the lens and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So when we're talking about understanding who you are, leaning into your strengths, understanding what your gifts are, your talents are, it has to be God-centered so that he may get the glory. Let's talk. Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm so thankful that you are here. Thank you for coming back to Conquer Me podcast. I am Jennifer Jefferson. Here we talk about the joys of developing a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Here's the thing. Everything has to be Christ-centered. Everything has to be about God. And I want that to be so. Even in this topic that we've been talking about all season long about breaking cycles. And when we break cycles, it's like, what is the next step? The next step is to live a fulfilled life, live a life that is so purpose-driven. And for those of you, if you haven't heard of that book, Purpose Driven Life, it's a really, really good book by Rick Warren. That thing came out, sheesh, probably well over 20 years ago. But it's a really, really good book about living a purpose-driven life. And it is very much so God-centered and it's very scripturally based. And I'll say this before we go into the weeds of today's conversation. Anytime you read a book, I always want to make sure, and I encourage all believers to make sure that the book is very much so God-centered. There are so many books out there that are Christian-focused, but even the Christian-focused ones can lean towards us-centered and not God-centered. So we want to make sure that we're reading books that lead us to Scripture, lead us to the truth of who God is, and how we can rise up to the occasion, right, to be the people that God has called us to be while here on earth. Because, look, I am excited for the day when I see Christ face to face. I'm excited for heaven. But I also understand that there's work that I have to do while here on earth. And the work is not just for me to enjoy, but also for others to enjoy, right? This is why the Bible talks so much about the gifts and talents of other people and what their strengths are. And part of breaking the cycle, which I feel is important, is understanding who you are. And now, I'm a believer that understanding that who you are is a constant process. This is why I said self-discovery, God-centered self-discovery. I believe that we are constantly discovering who we are. And it does not mean that the old habits or old things that we did is no longer beneficial or that you will not necessarily use them. But I do believe that God is constantly maturing us. He's constantly growing us. He's constantly challenging us to go a little bit further, go a little bit deeper, to understand who we are. And when we understand who we are, we're understanding more of who he is. Because I love the scripture that the Lord led me to start off with was in Psalms 139:13. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, here's the thing. If anyone that has grown up in church or has been in the church world for a very, very long time, particularly here in America, I'm not quite sure where it is in other countries, but that fearfully and wonderfully made, they always kind of geared it towards women. You know, so it'll be like a women's conference or Women's Day or whatever the case is. And they would say, you have to understand that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. This was in the book of Psalms, which is really majority of that was written by David or for David. Right. And so the thing is, we have to realize that all of us, regardless of gender, regardless of race, regardless of nationality, regardless of our language, regardless of our education, what we have in the bank account, all of this stuff, regardless of that, we have been fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. And the crazy part is the more we discover God, the more we see ourselves, right? The more we see the fullness of God. And what I do love is that because we are many members of one body, because we are all so different and complex, but yet we're made in the image of God, that means I can look at my brother or sister in Christ and see their strengths and realize, you know what, dope, I don't have to gain that strength. I can partner with this person. I can work with this person who may be very, very good at, let's see, XYZ. Maybe they're bolder. Like, here's a prime example. My husband is really, when I say, when it comes to sales, you know, we both have worked in sales positions in different capacities in some sort or another. My husband really, really was good at cold calling. And if you don't know what cold calling is, that means you are literally just calling random numbers or just knocking on doors. It's like you just go and you just go after it, right? You may have a name and a number and that's all you do. And you're just persistent with that, right? Me, I am not. I needed to have warm leads. I was better with people who knew what they wanted and then I can work with you and then I can sell you a little bit more. Right. So say, for instance, you knew you wanted these pair of shoes. I was good at saying, you know what, that those pairs of shoes are good. But let me add this with it. And I was good at convincing them to add all this other stuff with it so that my commission was higher. But my husband, he's the type of person to where he was good at just going out there, grabbing someone who didn't even know that they needed another pair of shoes, convincing them that they needed a pair of shoes. While for me, I was like, oh God, this is so stressful. I'm not good at it. Right. And so, and I'm using kind of like a simple example, but it's when you realize your strengths, you realize your weaknesses. I do believe that is part of a discovery process that is so good with breaking the cycle. I've told you all before that one of the things that I have been constantly praying about while on this fast is for the Lord to help me renew my mind. And I came across a post that was from Kev on Stage. I want to say it was last week or so. And he talked about leaning into his strengths and how the moment he started really to double down on his strengths, really lean into his strengths. It's not trying to be like other comedians, but really be the person that God has made him to be. And that's when he started to see things just blow up for him. Things just started to come together. And I remember I just really took that in. And as I'm like going through the process of renewing my mind, and I realized as the Lord was freeing me from some things that I wasn't clear on some things. I wasn't clear. One of the scriptures that come to mind when the blind man asked, when the blind man wanted to be healed, Jesus healed them, but yet he said, I see people, but they're basically moving as trees. And I'm paraphrasing, right? So his sight wasn't clear. And that scripture has been on me a lot. And I would say for the past few weeks, just been really, really on me. And I said, God, I want clarity. I see things, but it's not clear. It's not pristine. And so one of the things that the Lord really began to guide me on was really settling in who I am and who God has created me to be. Because we can go through time and season because of maybe how life was designed. And I'll give an example. So where we were always in a position where we would find a church home immediately. And when I say immediately, I mean like less than a month, we will find a church home. And after finding a church home, then we would get settled. And my husband and I found ourselves slowly but surely start to be plugged in somewhere within a church where we did the work. And we've always been those people where we volunteer at churches. We show up, we do those things. That's just how we've always been. And then I'm now I'm in this season where I'm like, Lord, we have been going from church to church, and every church was good. Every church was good. And it's something because my husband said, he says, it may seem like the Lord is having you to experience what you always say at the end of your podcast, find a good church home, take your time. It may take your time. It may take some time, but be okay, be patient. And I said, Lord, this is taking some time. Like, Lord, we're on 6 months and we don't have a church home yet. And I know some people are like, shoot, I've been looking for a church home longer than that. But we've been actively going to different churches, and every church has been great. The Spirit of the Lord has been there. The Spirit of the Lord has been there. The message has been good. The people were loving. Every church was completely different from one another, right? So it's kind of like the every church had its own little style, own little vibe and stuff like that. And but it was just like it wasn't locked in just yet. My husband and I, we would pray like, Lord, is this the church? And we didn't feel the confirmation of a yes. So we're like, okay, God, just keep guiding us where we need to go. And I realized that during this time of not having a church home, how it was starting to make me feel unsettled, because I always had a church home. I like structure. I like things to be in order. And then also one of the ways that I moved in the Lord was finding work to do at the church where God assigned us. And so now to be in this place where we're still searching and I'm not finding that work, it was throwing me off. And so my vision became unclear. See, when you're moving into new seasons, sometimes the Lord has to kind of remove some things or allow the process to be different than the previous season, so that the whatever has been lying dormant, maybe a concern, a worry, an insecurity, whatever it is, needs to come up. And I've been noticing that there's been a lot of stuff coming up. There's been a lot of stuff, things that I thought that I was good on. But because I didn't have the church home as a part of my anchor, as a part of my routine, then now I'm feeling uneasy. And so it's like my foundation was being broken up. So now my foundation is being broken up. And if anyone has worked in any type of homes, or even if you just walk down a sidewalk and you see a street that is broken, a sidewalk that is broken, you see that it's like it's uneasy, but you see all the stuff that is beneath it. So that concrete made it smooth. It made the pathway smooth so you can walk through it. But now with all of these cracks or maybe broken pieces, it's an uneasy to walk. You have to be a little bit more careful. It's a different type of alertness, right? So as the Lord was, so with my desire to quickly find a church home and that not being so, I'm now like, okay, God, what is happening? All this stuff started to come up. And I'm hearing, now this is the blessing of it. The blessing of it. We're still talking about self-discovery. Every church, every Sunday, everywhere we went, we received what we needed to receive from the Lord. And so this past Sunday, the church where we visited, very amazing service. When he was preaching, he said, he was talking about worrying and giving it over to God. And he was coming from Mark 9. And when the father brought his son to Jesus, the son was possessed. And he was talking about the importance of being vulnerable with the Lord. And he made a lot of points, but he said it's important to be vulnerable with the Lord and about casting your cares. And he was saying, you know, you're stressed and you're worried and, you know, it's like you're not having good sleep and your hair is falling out, all this other type of stuff. And I was sitting there thinking, because at that time I was not getting good sleep. I kind of chucked it up to, oh, my youngest was sick. And so, you know, a lot of times when you have little ones and they're not feeling well, they wake up in the middle of the night. I chucked it up to that. Then I kind of chucked it up to, okay, my sleep is just thrown off for the next night. But my mind was going. And I remember coming home, my husband and I, when we came home We prayed and we got into the word, and I was talking to him about what I received from the message. And I said to him, and I said, I feel like I'm not worried about stuff anymore. Like there used to be something. There used to be things where I was dead worried. I was so worried about it. And I knew what it was, and it was keeping me up at night. I was breaking out of hives, and I just could pinpoint. And my husband said, sometimes, Bae, it is not that you may not be worried anymore, but you haven't released it unto God. And when he said that, I was like, ooh, wait a minute. Wait a minute, because part of the breaking of cycles, it is confession. Part of breaking of cycles is seeking wise wisdom, sound advice. Part of breaking cycles is hearing the word and actually doing the word. So when the Lord had my husband to say this, and we were going through scripture, I began to say, whoa, wait a minute. I have not released. And in that moment, I'm like, God, what have I not released to you? Because I'm not worried anymore, but yet I still want control. So now I'm not worried, but now the question is, am I trusting and resting? And physically, I was not resting. Because one of the things that the pastor prayed for that Sunday, he said, I pray that you have great nights, no more when you have sleepless nights. And I was immediately like, Lord, please let this be so, because unfortunately for years, I just wasn't getting good sleep, and it impacts your health journey, right? I'm going to the gym, trying to eat right. And the weight is slowly coming off, but yet I'm not sleeping. I'm not resting. There's a problem, right? So I said, God, what am I not releasing to you? And as I began to meditate on that, the Holy Spirit start to deal with what was in my heart. And here's the thing about God-centered self-discovery. You have to invite the Lord in. You have to say, search my heart, O Lord. And that is found in Psalms. Search my heart, O Lord, and remove anything that offends you. Remove it, God. And what I began to realize in that moment was I was no longer worrying, but yet I didn't let go of control. And every time that I worried less, I tried to hold on tighter to the very few things that I could do. And I did. I began to weep because I said, God, I'm nervous about letting go of control. Now, here's the truth of it. Child, even when I did try to hold on to control and do things my way, it still didn't turn out the way I wanted to. So it wasn't like it was working. That's the thing. But it gave me some sense of stability and power. Sometimes people hold on to some form of control because it makes them feel secure. And the thing was, I said, God, I release this because I want to trust you completely. But then also, Lord, I want to have that assurance in you. That's that rest. That's that leaning back. If anyone has a child or whoever has held a baby, when that baby falls asleep in your arm, that is rest. That means they are secure. They know that you got them, that where they can fall asleep. You can move around, walk around with that child. You can vacuum, you can clean the room, you can do all this stuff because they're resting. So it doesn't matter the movement, doesn't matter the noise around, doesn't matter the commotion, anything like that. I'm with someone that I can rest and be secure in. So I was so thankful in that moment for the Lord revealing that in my heart. Because I really did. I was like, God, I thought I released this unto you. But the wisdom of the Lord that my husband spoke, it pricks me. And I was like, okay, God. And I repented. And I said, and we pray that the Lord fills me with assurance, that we pray that the Lord gives me those things so I can lean into what he has called me to do, lean into his the clarity of his voice and his season. And I realized in that moment that I was looking for the stability of the old. I was running away from the things that God was calling me to do for today. Because think about it with the children of Israel. When they were in the wilderness, they said we should have stayed back, even though they were oppressed, even though they were going through a whole bunch of stuff. It was familiar. They knew it. They knew that routine of being a slave. They knew that routine of being in bondage. They knew that. And sometimes when we're discovering, not sometimes, but every time when we are discovering ourselves through Christ Jesus, we have to be prepared for, number one, having a heart of repentance. Because there are things that lie within us that is offensive to God, that is offensive and is against the love and the truth of God. And when we cause, when the Holy Spirit calls for that to come to our attention, we meet it with praise. We said, thank you, Lord. Because what did David say? You knitted me in my mother's womb. You know me through and through. I think in that same passage of scripture, it talks about knowing the numbers of my hair. God knows you so well. So when we are discovering who we are, it has to be through Christ. It has to be God. Wait a minute. I see this, and it's about having these reflexive moments. Because what I just said and what the Lord allowed me to have was a reflexive moment. It was sitting back of saying like, okay, wait a minute. I heard the preacher say this. I'm not worried anymore, but yet I'm still having sleepless nights. I used to think the sleepless nights was due to my worry, but yet I'm not worried anymore. Okay, I saw the other day that my hair is starting to do something crazy again. So what is happening? I thought that was connected to worry. So then you have to, number two, after you are, number one, repentance, because repentance will come through having an introspective moment with God. You have to have an introspective moment with the Lord. You have to sit still. They that worship me must worship me in spirit and truth. That's scripture. We have to sit down and seek the truth of God, but also allow his truth to penetrate us. Reveal the things. Like say, Lord, literally read me like a book. I need you to search my heart, because we don't know the depths of our heart. We think we do, but we do not. So after you have this introspective moment, that should lead to repentance and praise. Saying, thank you, Jesus, for revealing that. Thank you, Lord. Now it's about seeking that wisdom. God, what do I do, right? What do I do in this moment? And so after that conversation with my husband, and the Lord allowed him to have wisdom about what was really happening, and we prayed, I repented and we praised God, and I prayed and I wept. And I was so thankful for the Lord revealing that. And I was like, God, okay, now what? Because I want to rest in you. I want to be the person you've called me to be. I see that I was trying to hold on to the past. I didn't realize that these years of doing certain things, and now that I'm out of that routine, is throwing me off, and it's making me be delayed on certain things. It's making me come up with excuses for certain things, whatever it is. So I began to seek God's wisdom. And what I love about the Lord is this. God can have you to understand and seek things or obtain his wisdom through so many different things. My father used to always say, if the Lord can use a donkey, he can use anything. If the Bible says that don't let the rocks cry out, he can use anything, right? And so I'm saying that. And so if you don't know, that when the donkey spoke in the Bible, it was with Baal the prophet. And so he was not a prophet of the Lord. He was basically a prophet for money. And the angel of the Lord was standing in front of him and trying to stop him from doing something. And he didn't do it. And the donkey kept trying, because the donkey saw the angel and he kept moving. And then Baal sat there and hit the donkey, and the donkey started talking like, hey, shoot, what's wrong with you? You know, so it was so funny. So my dad would always say, if the Lord can use a donkey. And so the thing is, When we pray for God's wisdom and instruction, it can come in so many different ways. And that's when what came to my memory was that episode, that video I saw of Kev on stage about leaning into your strengths, right? So I said, okay, God, leaning into the strength. And then my husband, he teaches about AI and how we should learn about this and how it can benefit us and the importance of it being like a new tool, right? And so a part of his class, he gave them homework. And the homework was to use ChatGPT as a resource tool to do like a brain dump. And it was so good. And he said to me, I was talking to him about a lot of things that were on my mind. He said, babe, you should do this. And I was like, cool, let's do this. I'm going to go ahead and do this. So I'm using this. Now, mind you, a part of self-discovery, like we said before, when the Lord reveals things to you, is you have to have a spirit of repentance. You have to invite the Holy Spirit in. You have to seek wise counsel. And the Lord will begin to really guide you to the tools in the natural and also within scripture on how to discover who you are and how to really lean into this new season and time in your life, right? And so I was using this tool, ChatGPT, and I was just talking to it to get things off my mind, to kind of get very clear and all the type of stuff. And one of the things it said was for you to learn your strengths and weaknesses. And once again, here comes this video that I saw with Kev on stage. I said, here comes the strengths and weaknesses again. And I was like, okay, what is this strength and weakness? So I said, you know what? What ChatGPT suggested was to reach out to family and friends, your loved ones, right? That trusted circle, to ask them what your strengths are. And I had a vulnerable moment. And I said, you know what? I am going to ask my loved ones, my family, what they believe my strengths are. And I just want to, and I made the decision within myself, what they say, because I love them and I'm asking them for their opinion. I'm asking them for how they see me. I'm not going to nitpick it or say no, right? I'm just going to accept it. Also part of self-discovery is maturing. When you begin to stop fighting things, when you begin to have these aha moments, you sit with it and you accept it. You're not trying to analyze it. You're not trying to minimize it, but you're seeing it for what it is. And from the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, some people know how to accept where they need to do better while not accepting what they are good at. So in this, I said, God, I'm going to lean in on who you're calling me to be. Because once again, we're going back to breaking cycles. Breaking cycles, I believe a key factor is understanding who you are. But the self-discovery for me is an ongoing process. I never want to stop discovering who God has called me to be. I never want to stop being intrigued about my Savior and Him telling me, Jennifer, this is who I've called you to be in this season. Because things change according to season. I gave you the example about not having a church home was throwing me off. My equilibrium was off, right? And so with that being off and with that not being succinct and being clear, it allowed for some things to be broken up and for me to see some things that need to be dealt with. And also, it also allowed me to see some things where I was avoiding. I was avoiding leaning into my strengths, AKA my talents and gifts, because in the body of Christ, we will use the word gifts a lot, but truthfully your gifts, talent, and I believe your strength can sometimes be interchangeable. So with this advice and with this task of using ChatGPT and to really saying, you know what, I'm going to talk to my family about what my strengths are. And they responded so well. And I was so thankful. And I just sat back and I was listening to it. And I was like, oh, my goodness. Well, I was reading because I text everybody and I was reading it. I was not going to allow pride to set in and say, don't ask them. Don't listen to whatever. I was going to have this moment of just being a student. And being open and honest. And I was listening to it. I mean, I was reading what they responded back to, and it was just so beautiful. It was overwhelming. I was like, wow, God, I thank you. And I said, God, I'm just going to lean in how you created me, going back to how He knows us. another scripture that says this, and I love this scripture, Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do God's work, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So going back to what David said in Psalms, you knit me together in my mother's womb. So when I'm understanding where I am good, the gifts, the talents that come from above, James 1:17 says this, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So the gifts are always there, but sometimes things get muddied. Our identity is always there, but things get muddied when we're not clear. And so we have to constantly stay before Christ, constantly stay before God and say, God, make this clear about who I am. What are the gifts? What are the talents? What are the strengths that you called me to hone in on? What do I need to become a student of? What do I need to accept so I can move in the things that you've called me to do, right? Because the things that was revealed to me through my family, I knew it was there, but I didn't accept it. So what happened was I finally accepted what they said. And it was, now, Jennifer, move in what God has called you to do. Sometimes your clarity and your lack of identity is because you have not accepted even the good things that God has placed in you. You keep nitpicking. And my mother, she brought this out to me. She called me. She was like, so she said, I text you back. And I said, yeah, see. And she said, but what's going on? And, you know, I told her, I said, Mom, you know, your daughter, I'm always having this deep moment. And so, you know, we kind of laughed about it. And she said, well, what do you think your strengths are? And I said, well, the thing is, I know, I said, I believe and I have an idea of my strengths. But what I do is in my mind, I begin to nitpick because I'm saying I'm not there of how I want, where I want to be, right? Self-discovery. That's why I said self-discovery. Discovery is a continuous process. And she said, well, that sounds like you are looking for perfection. I was like, no, I'm not looking for perfection, Mom. I'm not looking for perfection. She said, well, how do you define strengths? And I said, well, when someone is strong in something, that means that they are really, really good and they have, and I was about to say they have perfected it. And I said, well, I guess I do look for perfection, mother. And so we both just laughed and we're like, okay. And I was like, okay, God, I see it. And so she said, one thing is, Jennifer, you're organized. And so for me, I'm like, I'm not as organized as I want to be. So she gave a simple example of, okay, so she said, if I ask you to pull up your taxes from 2020, can you find it? I said, exactly, yes. If you needed to find something for the kids' personal records, and she gave different examples. She said, do you know where it is? I said, yes. So she kept going through it, question after question, example after example. And I was like, yes, yes, yes. And so I was like, I hear you, Mom. She said, now you may put something on your desk. It may not be filed away, but you know that you will get to it. And I said, that's true. And I actually had to think about it. That's actually part of my system. Because if I'm busy doing something else, I will put something on my desk, which is a reminder for me to file it immediately because I cannot stand clutter on my desk. I just cannot stand clutter. So, and she was like, that's still organized. That's still a system. And so, and I said, I hear you. And I accept it. So we need to have these conversations with the Lord, but also with the people that God has placed around us, and ask them, who do you think I am? What are my gifts, my talents, my strengths? And just accept it. Part of, I believe, the identity crisis that we are having in the body of Christ is because we have not settled in who we are. We have not accepted who we are. Like I have told people over and over, I'm not the cool girl. I'm not that girl. I'm not. I'm not the one that knows the latest trends. I'm not the one that's trying to follow the latest trends because why? It's too exhaustive and it's too exhausting and it's expensive. That's not me. I've never been her. Even though people have said, man, you have good style. You're very creative, whatever. I've just never been. So certain things you have to know who you are not which I spent a lot of time and years of understanding who I'm not, but now it's God, who am I? You have made me wonderfully. You have made me fearfully. You have knitted me together in my mother's womb. God, you've given me gifts that only can come from you. And I want us to look at gifts from even from the gift of administration, organization, the gift of not just creativity, because we're all creative. We are all creative. But it's discovering what that creativity looks like. We all have an ability to connect with people. But what is that type of connection? Right? And so it's like about really resting in that and understanding who God has created you to be. And I love what Romans 12, 6 through 8 says this. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophecy, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is a serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, encourage, then give encouragement. If it is given, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So there's so many gifts that God has given us. But as we're going through this process that is God-centered, the reason why I say God-centered is because everything that we do needs to glorify God. Everything that we do. There's so many scriptures that encourage us to do so. But it's also for the building of God's people. It is also for us to do the work of the Lord here on earth. It says in Romans, I want to say it's in Romans 8, it says the earth is patiently, earnestly waiting for the children of God. And I'm just saying a portion of the scripture and I'm paraphrasing too. But there are people who are waiting for your laughter, for your ability to bring joy, let's say a comedic style, whatever it is. They're waiting for that because we all have been uniquely made in the image of God. And so I encourage us to stop looking for us to be in the in crowd, but us to really say, God, as I'm coming out of these vicious cycles and becoming the person who you've called me to be, as I seek wisdom, as I seek your knowledge, as I seek your understanding, I believe that you're giving me more and more and more pieces in DNA of who you've called me to be. And I'm accepting that. I'm letting go of control. I am letting go of the need to narrate everything in my life. I'm letting go. And for someone, it may be the opposite. Maybe God is calling you to be more disciplined in certain areas. But you're saying, God, I am letting go. God, the gifts and the talents that you have given me. God, I know that this will make room for me. The very thing that you are praying for is on the opposite side of you saying yes. Yes to his instruction. Yes to how he wants you to show up in this world. Yes to your obedience. Yes to you being submissive to the Lord. Yes to your worship to him. Yes, 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 Lord, it is yes to you. And let me tell you this. When I had that conversation with my family, well, text, I was texting my family and then I talked to my husband and just accepting it, right? Because once again, I've been asking for clarity. And I do believe that you gain clarity as you discover more and more on who God has called you to be and who your just your DNA is, right? What your DNA is. When I say the next day, I got up. First of all, I started sleeping so much better, right? Ever since that pastor prayed and my husband and I had that beautiful conversation and we prayed and I released, I've been sleeping better and better and better. I woke up the next day after receiving and accepting what my loved ones have said. And I started to move differently. I didn't question a lot of stuff because now it's like, this is who I am. This is how God created me. how I like systems and processes and how, yes, I'm organized. I mean, I'm creative and I love to paint. I love to do all this stuff, but there needs to be some systems to it. That's just how I do. There's some people, they would just go out there and just throw paint on a piece of paper or on a canvas. That's what I'm looking for. A lot of paint splatter, just kind of be kind of wild with it. For me, I'm like, ooh, that gives me the heebie-jeebies. Why? Because I need to see order and structure, even in developing something that's gorgeous. Even if something that looks chaotic, I need to see the process of it, right? I need to see the systems. And I used to think that that was a problem. But when I saw how my family saw that was a strength, my husband said, these are certain strengths. And it was a list of things. And I was like, God, thank you for creating me in your image. Thank you, Lord, for creating me in your image. Thank you, Lord, for creating me in your image and these gifts and talents that you've called me to have. And Lord, with your wisdom, with your knowledge, with your truth, I will hone in on that. I will become good stewards. And that's the last thing. When you discover your gifts, talents, strengths, now is time to be a good steward over that. So if everyone says that you're an amazing leader, that means you need to double down on being a leader. And if one of your qualities is you're an active listener, pray about that. God, show me more. How are you an active leader? Always start with that, right? Always, when I hear things, okay, God, how are you organized? How are you a leader? How are you a great communicator? Start within the word. And then Holy Spirit, lead me to podcasts, books, videos, whatever it is that would help me to become better. What are the things that I need to do, right? Now it's time to steward that. That means take care of it, manage it properly. Even in blood flow, I love watching videos about the human body because even when blood is flowing, it seems like it flows so freely, but it's still systematic. There's always a process in God. So even within the things that you discover about yourself, that the Holy Spirit reveals to you, always bring it back to the Lord. And then now that you understand what your strengths, your gifts are, some people are naturally gifted singers. They just know how to do it. But you still need to know how to take care of your voice. You still need to know, okay, certain foods. If I eat things that are full of dairy, it produces more mucus. If I drink things that are full of acid or more acidic, right, it tears this down. So it's about being a good steward. Own in that gift, that talent, that thing that God has given you. And for a lot of us, to be truthful, because we're made in God's image, we have multiple things. So being good stewards. That is where we have to ask the Lord. Not just over our finances, but over everything that God has given us. So that we may do the work of our Heavenly Father, our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. When we pray that prayer, we are saying, God, I honor you as my Heavenly Father, and I'm asking to align with your will so that your will be done here on earth. He needs us. God created us so that we can do the work that he's called us to do. So his name will be glorified. So people will come into the kingdom and they will see the goodness of our Father. And we have such a beautiful Father. Will we receive the benefits of it? We will see the promotion. We will see the elevation. We will see our lives unfold. We will see our lives blossom into the fullness that God has called us to be. Jesus says that I have come that you may have life and have life more abundantly. When you get the chance, I want you to look at Luke 19, 11, and 27. And in this parable, it is used mainly for finances, but it's also used for anything that God has given us, for me. And you see the blessings of when we multiply what was given to us. So part of being a good steward is not only managing it well, but finding ways for it to multiply so that it can bless others. I pray that you have received something. I pray that you become excited about this process of breaking cycles and breaking cycles. Remember, God, there is no end in God, right? So if I'm getting out of this cycle, that means, God, what am I walking into? Be excited about the self-discovery. Be excited about what God is telling you to do in this season, and be okay with letting go of the old. You cannot put new wine in old wine skin. So it is so, so important that we just become excited about the process and the journey of doing the work of the Lord and developing a stronger and stronger relationship with God. Lord, we thank you for this time together. God, we thank you for what you have allowed us to discuss on today. God, I ask that you just continue to bless us and be with us. Continue to give us your wisdom and your knowledge, Lord Jesus. Allow us to make sure that we are keeping you centered in all things, Lord Jesus. And if there's anyone that is listening right now who's like, God, I need to become refocused. My self-discovery has been from a very selfish perspective. It has not been about you. I have not asked for your wisdom. I did not ask for your guidance. I have not repented. It's been about me. God, I ask that person right now has a spirit of repentance and allow them to repent unto you. So, and allow your Holy Spirit to speak to them about in the ways in which they should turn. Give them the scriptures in which they should meditate on. Send them to the right people that will go ahead and be their wise counsel in their season. And their wise counsel may not be always someone who is directly within their life, someone that they can touch, but it may be someone online. It may be a podcast. It may be a preacher, teacher that they can find online, whoever it is. It may be a book of someone who is no longer living, but the wisdom that they need is what they need for this season. And they couple that with your word, God. We thank you for us being students of your word. And if anyone who is listening right now, and they do not know you as their Savior. They're like, I have been trying to discover who I am, but I feel so lost. But you know that you don't have Jesus. I ask that you repeat after me. Lord, I thank you for being the Son of God. I thank you for dying for my sins and raising and coming up with all power, Lord Jesus. I believe that you are the resurrected living God. I ask that you forgive me of my sins and be my Savior. If you have said that you are not saved, if the whole point of salvation is to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is risen, that he is who he says he is. He is your Savior. And we are excited, we are thankful, and we are praising God for you, for coming into the kingdom. For everyone that is listening, please find a church home. Look, I'm on the journey of finding a church home, but a church home is so, so important to every believer. Do not become discouraged in the process. Do not give up in the process. Be diligent and know that there are plenty of good church homes, churches out there. I promise you, God has allowed us to see multiple churches. All of them were good. It just wasn't where God has called us to be. And I'll say this last thing. I remember a pastor said this. He said, you want to be where your mail is being sent. So there's a lot of good churches, but you have to say, God, is this where my mail is being sent? Is this the place where I will receive what I need to receive in this season? Is this a place where I need to serve the way you called me to serve? So be diligent and finding a church home, because God has called us to be in communion with one another. We are not supposed to be a one-man show or one-woman show, be an island. But no, we are one body, many members of one body, and Christ is our head. I love each and every one of you all, and I'll speak to you next week.